This is Brian Jenkins of Chosen 300 Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to join us on the web at www.chosen300.org, where you can learn about volunteer activities and also opportunities for giving. You can give by sending us a gift to Chosen 300 Ministries at P.O. Box 95, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, 19003. We also have an option for online giving right on our website at chosen300.org, and we also encourage you to designate your United Way or community giving gifts at your place of employment to Chosen 300 Ministries. This is a big help to our ongoing expense for our mission projects in Center City, Philadelphia. We want to thank you so much for joining to us today, and may God bless you and you enjoy today's message.
Mark chapter 3, verses 1, I believe I have till 5. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man that which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, and they might accuse him. And he said it unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save lives, or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved from the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto them, the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you, God, for your goodness and mercy, Lord. We thank you for who you are in us today. Lord, I ask you just that you would hide me behind your veil, God, that they would not see me, but they would only see you, God. God, as I have studied, God, I ask you to use me, God. Use me for your glory, God. Allow these words to be spoken into someone's lives today, Lord. Allow them to be able to recognize who you are that don't know you, God, that they may cry out, what must I do to be saved? God, use me this day in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I just want to present to you the topic for this morning. It's called Come to the Healing Place. Yes, yes, yes. Come to the Healing Place. Here we find Jesus teaching and healing in the synagogues, once again in a town called Capernaum, which was a place where Jesus chose to take residence after he was pressed to leave Nazareth. This city had become his own city and was a scene of many acts and incidents of his life. Matthew 4:13 and 16 tells of Jesus leaving Nazareth and entering to Capernaum, and how he became the light to the people in that city who were once living in darkness. We know that this day was significantly different because he had done many teachings and many miracles in times prior to this occasion. Yes, it was the Sabbath, but the people were in the midst of him, and whether there was one or many amongst him, somebody needed a healing. Mark 3 and 1, and he says that he entered again into the synagogues, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. We want to focus on the man talked about in this text. Luke, in his description, in Luke chapter 6, verse 6, it tells us that this man, it was his right hand. It was indicating that this was not something that was present or something that was inherited at birth, but that he had been injured or contracted some type of disease. The Bible says that he had a withered hand. We can imagine that this may have prevented him from working for a living. It may have even prevented him from accomplishing some goals. It may have even prevented him from doing some of the things that you and I would love to do in life. Amen? Yes, yes. This had prevented this man from doing some things, which sums it up to say that this man was in some way handicapped, and he could not do the things that he used to do. He was in an uncomfortable situation. Jesus is challenging the Pharisees to acknowledge the fact of it being good to let those be helped and cannot help themselves. Or would it be better for him just to let them remain in need, all because it was the Sabbath? Nowhere in this text do the Pharisees deny the truth, but yet they still won't yield to do what is right. Blinded by their traditions, blinded by their religions, not recognizing that Jesus was God and that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. Not recognizing that our help is in the Lord who made heaven and earth. Not recognizing that they didn't realize that he was the one that held all power in his hands. Christ seen the root of bitterness in the heart of the man, and it grieved him, but yet he surpassed all of that because he realized that the great day of healing was the Sabbath. Why? Because there was someone in need, and his first concern was to see about that need. We can't say whether this man had came to hear the teachings of Jesus, nor can we say whether he had come to be cured that day, knowing that Jesus had been in the synagogues. Nor can we say that if it was for the sake of him just to come and worship. But what we can say is that this man needed a healing. So he came to a healing place to receive from the healer who has all power to heal. Many hands were withered in this place today. Many hands are withered in this place today. Many hands are wasted in this place today, not producing anything. How many can say that this is not the condition that God had intended for our lives? And although our hands may be withered, yet if we will not stretch out our hands into the hands of God, you're not in a receiving position to be healed. And in order to receive a healing from God, you have to first believe that he's a healer. In order to receive a healing from God, you have to first believe that he is the antidote. In order to receive a healing from the Savior, you have to first believe that he is the remedy. You have to first believe that he is the solution. In order to receive, God is the answer for your lives. And all we need to do is stretch out our withered hands. Christ knows your injuries. He knows your hearts. He knows your disappointments in life. All you have to do is stretch out your withered hands. Those that are in need of healing, those that are in need of healing, come to the healing place to receive from the healer who has all power to heal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This reminds me of an illustration that Jesus told in Matthew chapter 22 when he talks about the king that had prepared a wedding for his sons, and he told his servants to go out and invite certain people to the wedding. But many people did not come. However, he sent another set of servants out to invite certain people to the wedding, but many did not come. The king says, look, I have prepared my dinner. I have prepared my oxen, even my fattest cattle. But the king told the people, look, it's all here for you. All you got to do is come, for I have already prepared it. And the Bible says that some of the people, they disregarded it. They took it lightly. Some went back to the fields. Some went back to their businesses. As many of us today, some might go back to their own lifestyle. Some might hang out in the clubs, disregarding what God has prepared for us. Some may even go back to doing drugs. Some of us might even go back to doing the things that we know that is not right to do. But God said he's already prepared it for us. But you know what? The Lord has need of us today. He has need for our lives, for us to do what is right today. And God said even that in this parable, that even though the people did not do what was right, even though they disregarded him, even though they did not come when he had prepared for him, he said that they killed his servants. They talked about him. They went on to their daily lives. And this made the king upset. It made him angry that he sent forth an army to kill those that had killed his servants. He ended up inviting only the servants and the few that ended up coming. And at the ceremony, he says, those that I have called that did not come were not meant to come to this feast. Later in the parable, he said that many are called, but few are chosen. Many take that parable out of context, assuming that there to be a group of quote-unquote selected individuals who will find favor in God's eyes. God's not looking for a quote-unquote selected, but he's looking for those who will come and dine with him. He's looking for those who will spend some time with him. The reason that he mentioned this in the text saying that many are called but few are chosen is that when they came to the feast, Even the few that ended up coming, somebody was unprepared that had come. There was a certain man who had showed up for the wedding, and he was not dressed in proper garment, so therefore he was cast down. How many know that when we come before the Lord, we can't come half-stepping? We can't come with a contrite spirit. We can't come giving any old kind of praise, giving God any old kind of worship. God wants you to come correct. For those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God, the great thing that I love about this is that God gives us all a choice. He gives us the choice to come when he invites us in. He gives us the choice to serve while it is yet day. He gives us the choice to live holy for his name's sake. Let's put it in plainer text. He gives you the choice to put down that bottle. He gives you the choice to abstain from premarital sex. He gives you the choice to kick that drug habit. He gives you a choice to live without malice. He gives you the choice to live without bitterness. He gives you the choice to live without anger and strife. God gives you the choice to reconcile with your family. He gives you the choice to reconcile with your loved ones. God gives us the choice to get up and do what is right. God gives us the choice to do what he requires you to do that is right. Believing that we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us, who gives us the choice. Hallelujah. But we go about our daily day and our daily struggles, and we disregard the invitation that has been presented time after time. God has given you a choice, but we have to do what is right. Now, even though you might make that choice, we don't want to say whether you're going to make the choice to serve him or not. But even if you decided to follow Christ, we have to realize that the enemy would be right there on your trails trying to take you out. Hallelujah. But the Apostle Paul tells us that in Romans 7:21, he says that I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. But as the Lord said unto Joshua, I say unto you, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. You have to know that God is going to fight for you. As the Lord said unto Ruth, I say unto you, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. And as David would say it, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I know that this is Mother's Day. Yes, I know that we celebrate this special day for the mothers and for all the mothers that have accomplished all that we could never accomplish. Amen? But I also know foremost, without a shadow of a doubt, that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't even want to begin to say where I would be today. I realize now that it is him, knowing that I am his child. I have to first say that my sons, David and Jonathan, being a mother, it has put me at a different perspective. I never thought in a million years that I would be dreaming, is my child okay? Every time I drop them off into somebody else's hands. Are they getting into the wrong stuff? Are they going to fall and bump their heads? Is anyone going to put the wrong information in their head other than what I have given to them? I'm constantly worried about my sons and being concerned about them. So if I, as a mother, am concerned about my sons, how much more than Christ can be concerned about us? Hallelujah. It helped me to realize now that as his child, times and times again, when I have cried in the middle of the hour, in the middle of the midnight hour, God was there watching over me. He was concerned about me. He wanted to see how I was doing. When I was in a misery and distress, my comforter, he was to me. And he comforted me both night and day. When I was in trouble, he was my very help in the time of trouble. When I wanted to give up and throw in the towel, he was there to let me know that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. When I was sick, he was my healer. When I was in need, he was my provider. When I was in, my mind was in trouble, he gave me the peace. When I needed a healing, I came to that healing place to receive from the healer who had all power to heal. Oh, I know y'all looking at me, and I know y'all saying, wait, this is Mother's Day. This isn't a Mother's Day message. But you know what? Don't get me wrong, I praise the mothers of this day. And God has given me one of the greatest gifts in my life, and that is my mother, who has done so much in my life. And I thank God for her this day. But I first have to also recognize that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Matthew 10:37 says that he that loveth his father and mother more than he loved me is not worthy of him, me. He that loveth his sons and daughters more than he loves me is not worthy of me. You have to realize that without this day, there would be no mommies and daddies. You have to realize without the Lord's day, there would be no sons and daughters. Jesus even said that, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Those that do the will of my father, that's who my mother is. That's who my brother is. Yes, this is a good day to give thanks unto our mothers. Happy Mother's Day, all mothers of the world. But this is a great day to give thanks unto the Lord. So we need to just be praising the Lord and standing on our feet. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah, for the Lord is good. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. If we could all just stand on our feet and reverence him at this time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said if we can stand on our feet and reverence him. Hallelujah. Reverence him. Reverence him. Hallelujah. For our God is an awesome God. Amen. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Hallelujah. And maybe, just maybe, someone is in need of a healer. I invite you to come to this healing place and receive from the healer who has all power to heal. He knows you're concerned. It may have started at the root as a child. It may have been recent. God knows it all. But God wants you to know that he is here for you. And all you have to do is give your life to him. God wants you to know how much he loves you. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, it doesn't matter who it is, he's not separating anybody from another, but God sees us all. Hallelujah. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:9 tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. That's all it takes. All you got to do is open your mouth and believe it. Some thinks it takes so much more. It's not that technical. It's not that difficult. God just wants you to open up your hearts and receive him on this day. God wants you to open up your hearts and believe him on this day. And if you can receive and you can believe, you will be saved. So at this time, if there's anyone here that wants to give their lives to the Lord, don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait until later tonight and it's too late because something tragic may have happened. God is keeping you even now. He's giving you even this day. You can come. You can come on this day. You can give your lives to him. Hallelujah. Open up your hearts. Open up your hearts to him. He's a deliverer. He's awesome. Is there anyone here? Is there anyone here? Oh, come on and give your lives to the Lord this morning. Don't worry about your brothers and sisters next to you. They don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. How many know I'm just so glad that I got Jesus who will fight my every battle? I'm not going to guarantee to you that it's going to be easy. For it seems like it might be made easy right now because you're not going into any particular struggle trying to serve Him. But how many know even when you have come to the Lord, the enemy will be present because he wants to seek to kill, steal, and destroy your soul. But God has come to save your soul. Come to Jesus while you have time. Hallelujah.
Well, praise the Lord. We hope you enjoyed today's mission message for today. We encourage you once again to sow a seed of faith into this ministry. We are the ministry that is uniting the body of Christ to reach the world to help the homeless and less fortunate. We also encourage you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for our Sunday morning worship and breakfast. And again, any volunteer opportunity, they're located on the website at chosen300.org where you can participate in helping the homeless and less fortunate. May God bless you and may heaven smile upon you.